for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is Friday morning, July the 8th, 2005. These are testimonies of people who have lived here at the camp. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
His mom died at the age of 3, and his dad remarried, and the lady didn't take good care of them. Then at the age of 12, he was sent away to one of the larger towns in Mexico to work, to be an apprentice for a man. So then, you know, he had no upbringing either about family life. But here, I saw it through Glenn, you know. Glenn, you know, he became a surrogate father to me. He really did. Because I had never had that picture imprinted on me of a kind, tender, loving man, right? And then, you know, Kevin and Patty showed me, you know, the love of Christ also, and they were very accepting to me. And then one of the things that I need to say that's so beautiful about this place is that, you know, the men that minister here, they hear from God. You know, there were three things, specific things that I wanted to know about when I came here. Three things that had been bothering me for months and months, and I couldn't get, you know, I couldn't see clearly what was wisdom, you know, that discernment. And like the second day, I got one answer. The fourth day, I got the other one. And then finally, the last one. So like, I'm free and clear here. I'm like just gonna sail home and sail into town and I think, you know, you guys know it, but I just wanna say it. Our God is so awesome. Because here were these three things that were kind of like, you know, hindering me, bothering me and it has to do with my work and things like that. But we come here and our precious God, our precious Lord, provides these ministries to bring us back to peace, you know. And so I love this place a lot. It's meant a lot to me. And it's just, you know how salvation, part of the word of salvation is completeness, right? And that's what the Lord has been doing in my life, you know. And I thank the Lord for this wonderful place. God bless you.
Then about that time, somewhere in there, Sandy moved here and lived here for quite a little while. And she has quite a testimony, not only about living here, but what God did for her before she came here when she lost her arm. Come over here. She became part of our family here and still is and always will be.
Yeah. That's right. Well, I don't know. These are two of my grandkids. These are two of my grandkids, Marissa and Alexia. They're half-sisters. Anyway, they always go where I go. And so, do you want me to tell about my arm again? Huh? Do you want me to tell them about my arm or the camp? Just whatever? Okay, well. Briefly, this arm.
How you happened to come.
Yeah, how happened to come here?
But she did lose this arm.
Yeah. This one.
And the butcher in the hometown took Kevin from cutting the skin off, or they would have cut it off and threw it away.
Mm-hmm. Because they thought I was already dead.
Yeah.
And the only way to get me off the postal digger was to...
The postal digger, she was wrapped around the postal digger.
Yeah.
But the Lord has restored it, and unless she shows it to you and look at it...
Which is why I love to play the tambourine. Which is why I love to type. And take care of children, do whatever. I do a lot with my arm that the Lord restored to me. And Dr. Knoll,
I want to say something.
What's that?
For years when she'd give her testimony about the postal worker, I always thought it was one of these things that you stick in the ground and go like this. But no, it's something that goes on the back of a tractor and
yeah.
It's mounted in and whips around like
yeah.
And
yeah.
Anybody that was in yeah. My diet was.
Well, the Lord took care of me, and He still does. And Dr. Knoll, the radial nerve was severed. They said I'd never be able to use this arm again. In fact, they didn't think it'd grow back on. If it did grow, well, by a miracle, it did grow back. And then they said I'd never be able to use it. I'm supposed to be like this. So I said, Lord, I know you can heal me. I need both arms. I have four children to raise. You got to hold them with one hand and whoop them with the other. So little by little, sooner than anybody could believe, I was using this arm. And they couldn't believe it. It says, not possible. I says, I'm using my arm. And so, thank you, Jesus. He's able. And so how I got here, I was married to someone and at the time, and we came down here. He was going to be a cleaner and help with the maintenance, and I was going to work in the kitchen. And all I'm going to say is the Lord, the scripture says to confess your sins, not anybody else's. So I'll leave it there. And I came here. He's gone now. So what I did was come work in the kitchen. I had, I don't remember. I had Jesse and Tracy, two little girls, and Jack. Okay. So I was going to be a cook's help. And after I was here 2 weeks, the cook left a note on the table with the keys to the kitchen, and he says, gotta go. So camp meeting was 2 weeks away, and I was a cook. And I didn't know how to run that kitchen, but they said they'd help me, and they did. I never could make biscuits, but I got pretty good at the gravy. And so we got through it all. And having been raised as a Catholic and gone to Jesuit University and studied St. Thomas Aquinas and been in the Legion of Mary and loved my rosary, I had a lot of work to do here. And so I got all of that out, at least. And sometimes I swear there were two at a time. But time after time, I had to submit, you know, that these things were not good. And I got delivered a lot here. And they were always taking me aside and we think you have murder in your heart. And I said, let's get it out. You know, and away it go. And I've continued since I left here about 20 years ago, I continued to submit to deliverance on my own. I haven't been able to find a church anywhere that knows how this is supposed to be done. Anyway, what I want to say is while I was here, I learned a lot about angels and their presence here and how they love us and how they love to sing with us. And there's three stories I bet you didn't know. And I didn't know you weren't supposed to go walking out in the backwoods. Nobody told me. So I did go out, Diana said to eat this. But nobody told me that. So I used to go walk the back 40 and pray and then come back. This is before prayer meeting at 8 in the morning. And this one morning I was taking a walk back there and thanking God for his angel. And just praising the Lord all the way around. Well, somebody had been burning some weeds right there where the garden is now. And there was a little path through there. And I thought, well, that'll probably be burned out by the time I get back. But it wasn't. In fact, it had increased in size, and it was right where I was supposed to walk. And I said, oh, no, what am I going to do? If I go back the other way, I'll be late, and I don't want to be in trouble. If I go through there, I'm going to smell like smoke, and I'm going to rip my pantyhose on those weeds. And so I didn't know what to do. And I looked up again, and the smoke was being blown over like this, like billows, away from the path. And I just, oh, the angels are blowing that smoke away so I can walk on the path and not get smoke on me or tear my pantyhose. And that's what I did. And I thought, maybe I should hurry. And I thought, no, the angels are blowing the smoke away and I don't have to hurry. And I just walked through there and thanked the Lord for those angels. And I came on through and didn't smell like smoke. I wasn't late for the prayer meeting. It was a miracle. And, I don't know if you ever knew that. It's right where the garden is now. Another time, I was out walking in those woods, and I was way out there, and it looked like it was going to rain. It was sunny when I left, but clouds had formed. It looked like it was going to pour. And I took dominion over the weather. And I said, oh, no, I am not going to get soaking wet. I'm going to take authority, and you clouds, you hold your rain until I get back to that camp. And I said, and I'm not going to run either now. And so I just marched along and took dominion over those clouds and walked along. And then Lyle Rogers was standing out under the eaves here. I was coming across the bridge. He says, you better hurry, it's going to rain like cats and dogs. I said, it's not going to rain till I get there. And it didn't. And I got to the eve and it just started to pour. I thought, oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. And then another time, third thing, and then I'll be done. I used to wipe tables, work in the kitchen, and they were having meetings, and I wanted to come and be part of it, but a lot of times you had to go work back there, and you didn't get it, participate. So I said, okay. So I was wiping tables, and there used to be a Coke machine over in the corner. When I finally got around to that, I heard some singing, and I looked up, and it was coming from high, way higher than the ceiling. And the voices, it was one voice, so high, higher than people can sing. And I thought, oh, this is another angel. And it was singing with such joy. It was so clear. It was singing in tongues, just rejoicing. And it was a young voice, you know. And I just stood and listened, and I thought, oh, am I blessed? Am I blessed? Because I hadn't even asked for that, you know. It was just a gift. Because I did like what Patty was saying, do what you're told to do, and that is unto the Lord, and that is a prayer. And so, I'm glad to be back and see all of you, and I want to try to come back every year to see you all again. Meanwhile, we need to pray for each other, for our protection, and against the retaliation. And I just don't know how I got here in 14 and a half hours from 700 miles away, driving 65 and 7 stops. How did that happen? The Lord made it happen because he really got us here in good time. So I do love you all, and I look forward to living with you forever in eternity. All right.
Well, she was a great blessing here, and helped. I never heard a complaint out of her. Never a complaint. And there's another gentleman that came here one day, and we put up with him for a while. And I want Don Magdalene to come up here and tell how he got here.
You notice Glenn said put up with him. Glenn said a while ago that the two boys that were in jail, that when the police called, he went and got them. And then the police called again, and he went and got them. And Glenn said, Jesus wouldn't turn them away. They put me out of here. I was asked to leave, and but I understand. I know you did exactly what God had you do for me. But I was raised a rebellious home, wild young man. Glenn has called me a wild man. And I appreciated it when he did, because I was in the middle of a 30-day fast when he called me a wild man. That was probably the wildest I'd ever been, really. It was great. But my story goes like this. I was at my parents' house. I don't even know how old I was. I think I was about 40. And maybe, I don't know, Doc. I wish I knew what year. I think it was early 90s. I wish I knew when it was, and I'm sure we could probably figure it out. But I had gone through a divorce. I was married. I had so much junk in me. I was my grandmother on my dad's side ran bars in Chicago, and lived a very simple life. My grandfather on my mother's side took his life when I was 2 years old, hung himself, just to give you a little bit of kind of stuff that I didn't know it had anything. I didn't understand generational things at all, but it's real. I was a wreck, and God's still delivering me. But Sister Pena was talking about divorce curses, and when she started talking about that, I said, boy, I want to learn more about what you were saying about how some of the curses were, that nothing would ever work for the children. And that's been the story of me and my two sisters. We've had nothing but heartache. We've all been divorced, and I've got one sister, I think she's mentally ill, and when I was 22, I was raised Catholic also. A guy gave me a Bible and told me Jesus loved me. I had no idea what he was talking about. And I opened the Bible up and it fell at Psalm 51. Psalm 51 says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." And everything I ever wanted to say to God is in Psalm 51. And it became my prayer. Beautiful prayer. It was when Nathan came to David and said, "You've sinned," and he repented. And I threw all my Catholic prayers out, and shortly after that I became a Christian in a little country Baptist church, and got married and was trying to serve the Lord. But I had so much junk in me, and I didn't know it was junk. I just thought it was me, and I went on and ended up in a divorce and a miserable guy. I'd lost my two children, my first wife, and reverted back to my old ways, and I was in a real bad fix. Drugs, alcohol, bound with all kinds of craziness, and really kind of enjoyed it. That's how sick I was. And I had hit bottom point in my life again, and a lady called my mother's house, and I was 40 years old, and she said, "Is Don there?" And the odds of me being at my mom's house is about a million to one, unless God's in it. Then it's about a million to one that you will be there. And I was there. It was very ironic, because I hadn't heard from this lady in 15 or 20 years. And she was a woman of God, a very Holy Ghost-filled woman. And my mom gave me the phone, and she said, "Don, I was reading a publication called Voices from His Excellent Glory, and I was in Mississippi, and this lady was in Tennessee. She's never been here, Glenn. She had the magazine. I hadn't seen her in years. She said, God told me to call your mom's house and to talk to you and to tell you you need to go to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp." So that's what she told me when I got on the phone. And I said, I just started crying, because I've always loved God. Even when I was a little boy, I just never feared Him. There's a big difference. If you fear God, you'll obey God. You can love God and be very disobedient. And that was the story of my life. She said, "God told me to call you and tell you to go to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp." And when I was so broken, I just, to hear from this lady, this godly woman, and she said, "That's all I know. I don't know where, nothing about it. I just know God spoke to me, and you know, the very fact that you answered the phone ought to tell you something." And I was just, "Yes, ma'am." So she gave me the number, and I called it. And I hear this voice. It says, "Camp Lake Hamilton. Camp Lake Hamilton, may I help you?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I told her what had just happened. I said, "A lady just called me from Tennessee and told me that I need to come up there." And I said, "What exactly do y'all do there?" And Irma said, "We cast devils out of people." I'd never heard anybody say anything like that. She said, "We cast devils out of people," and I said, "Can I come up?" And there I was, a 39, 40-year-old man who had been very wealthy at one time, owned several businesses, broke, and he had a car. You know, God blessed me when I was serving Him, and when I turned away from Him. Curses for disobedience. And my parents drove me to a bus station. Grown man put me on a bus. Who else came on a bus? And I showed up here. Well, Irma told me later on, she said, "I usually don't just put it like that." She said, "I told you that because I wanted to let you know that we just weren't playing games. Because I was quite a talker. But she didn't just give me permission to come. She had to talk to Glenn. And then I just showed up. So I came here. And just a know-it-all. Some people meet me and they think that I think I still am, but I really don't. God's brought me a long way. But I grew up to be a know-it-all. I grew up to be a smart aleck. My parents raised me like that. I was not disciplined. I had no respect for my parents, authority, police, teachers, nobody. I had all this junk in me. I was a hippie kid who went to California when I was 17. Lived out in Haight-Ashbury for a little while. I was gone, G-O-N-E, gone. I'm telling you, I was a mess. And I ended up getting locked up. One of the best things ever happened to me. They locked me up for something that's legal today, just about, Kevin. Very little bit of it. I mean it, boy. They closed the door on me for a little while on that, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I learned about some things. And it's where the guy handed me the Bible and I read 51st Psalm. I was locked up and I heard a Billy Graham crusade and God drew me through that. I'd never heard that message. I remember them singing "Just As I Am." My heart just didn't understand it, but just something pulling me. And but anyway, I got here and Glenn has been an example to me of a man that I never knew. I never knew anybody like Glenn. Glenn helped me. And he just loved me. And we rejoiced together over some things. When I first came here, I have skills. I have great skills for work and making money, and I just have a knack for it. But I had nothing. I was broke here, and Glenn helped me get a car. And I remember bringing him my first paycheck. It was like $800 or $900. Remember that, Glenn? Glenn said, "Golly!" That was back in the '90s, but I got a job in sales here my first week or so. I made about $900 in commission. And Glenn said, "Gee," and I said, "Gee too," and I was used to that. And it just started getting better and better. And but I was a mess. I just didn't know it all. I'll never forget one of the things about Glenn. Irma would get on my nerves. I'll just be honest with you. I mean, this inspired just what I'm going to tell you. But one day I was in the... I worked hard here. I would be in there washing dishes. And Irma would come back here and tell me, "You're using too much Dawn." Well, I didn't like authority anyway. But and I justify my rebellion because I didn't understand authority. If you understand authority, it's yes, ma'am. If you don't understand it, you go, "Who does she think she is?" And that woman knew how to push your buttons. And she got on me about using too much Dawn one day. And I'm thinking, "Hey, I'm in here working hard. Why don't you leave me alone? Let me do the dishes." And I can't remember what all happened, but I just remember that she would say, "You're rebellious." And I was thinking, "You are whatever," myself. I had some thoughts about that lady. And be honest with you, she was a little overbearing, Glenn. But I still do. But Glenn came up to me, and Glenn put his thumb in my chest later on that day, and he went, boom, boom. I've told my wife this many times. He said, "You remember this, Glenn?" He said, "You know what's the matter with you?" And he was hitting on my chest on every word. "You know what's the matter with you?" I looked at this man that I love so much and been so kind to me, and he said, "You just think you're a little bit better than everybody else." And I'm going to tell you something. You know what my mind said? "No, I don't." Rebellion. And I got so mad at Glenn, but I loved him. Well, I lived in the A-frame upstairs, and I went up in that A-frame, and I sat down. And for one of the first times in my life, I started thinking, why would he say that to me? He loves me. And I was going to leave. I didn't want to be here, because that's my pattern. Mess with me, I'm out of here. I'm tired. I've always been treated wrong. And I was going to leave. I have to put up with those people. But I knew better than to leave. And I apologized to Glenn and tried to do better. And I ended up going on a fast here, and I'm winding this my part down, and I went on a fast for 3 or 4 days, and it ended up 15 days, and then it ended up 20, and then it ended up 30. And that fast is really cool. I'm going to tell you what happened to me. I like what somebody said about how God works it all over a time. It takes time sometimes for God to get you where you need to get to. But I lived up in the top of the A-frame, and on about the 30th day of the fast, I had a dream in the middle of the night. It was the most vivid dream. And I saw trucks going all over the world. And they had these things on the back of them. And I knew what the things were. And they were called fortresses. There was this huge company called Family Tree. And I woke up. And I knew what it was. What it was is it's what I now manufacture. I build these things now. But they're little houses for dead people. It's really weird what I do. I'd build private mausoleums. I'd build them. But I saw them in a dream back in the early 90s. And I woke up and I wrote it all down. You build this little private mausoleum. Sounds crazy, but it's actually coming to pass. So, you know, God. And you call them fortresses and you have a company called Family Tree. So I knew God had showed this so clear to me in this dream. So there was a man here named Bill from Texas. And he was a preacher and a man of God and a builder. He could build. He told me right here, he said, I can build. He put the A-frame, supervised the apartments. And I told Bill about the dream, and Bill told me. He said, man, the next day, he said, I had a dream last night. And he said, I saw this huge tree coming up out of the ground. He said, I believe it was that company you dreamed about, the oak tree. And so he got excited, and I said, well, would you help me? So we started trying to figure out how to build them here. Remember that, Glenn? We actually built, or he built, a mold. And you know, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? He's out to get us. And I had no experience at walking with God. And after this 30-day fast, by the way, I want to throw one other thing in there that I saw. After that morning when I woke up, I was standing upstairs in the A-frame shaving, and I saw this huge facility. And in that facility was power just coming out of it. And man, it was awesome. It was like a big coliseum. And I just saw it. I mean, I don't know if you ever just see something. I haven't done much of that. I mean, but I saw this great facility, and there was people come from all over the world to get delivered and help. And I told Glenn about it. He said, yeah, it's going to be right here. He said, a lot of people have seen it. I wanted to just mention that too. But, you know, I heard Hal Lindsey one time years ago. I was in a Bible study with him, and he said that some of your greatest defeats will come out of you after your greatest successes, if you're not careful. And in the midst of all this wonderful thing God was doing in me, the 30-day fast, the cleansing of a lot of things in my life, this dream he gave me, Brother Bill helping me build these things, I went down and started doing street ministry. And let me tell you something, you can do a lot of good things, and if they're not what God wants you to do, you're wasting your time. Okay? And the devil will trick you. He'll give you, there's their spirits. They're like, they give you false responsibility. There's a trick. You're over here helping all these people. God didn't even want you helping them. And I was downtown. I don't know if you remember that, Glenn. I was down just bringing people to church. Remember that? I put 9 or 10 people in a little Honda Accord one night and carried them up here. And I had them here and I was, you know, ministering. One of the girls I was ministering to. She said to me, she said, look, if you ever get weak again in some of those areas that you've just come out of, she said, I've got some real good connections here in this town. And she said, I just wouldn't want you to get hurt, da-da-da-da-da-da, end of story. Before you know it, I was right back where I used to be. And what does the Bible say? Once you come to God, you get cleaned up. They come back and they find the house swept and clean, and they come back in, they bring 7 years. The latter person is worse than he was before he fell, right? Whew! I was a mess. Right here living in the campground, oh God, it was so hard. Glenn was loving me and was wanting me to do good, and I was bent, man. I have a lady right back there in the morning prayer meeting, she said to me, she said, I see a cloud over you, a dark cloud. She said, it's raining on you. In the spirit, she told me that. I don't want to tell everything that happened to me here, Glenn, because I'm ashamed of it. Some of the things I did here. But maybe someday I would be at liberty to say what I did. I did some bad things here. I broke the rules. I stole money. I'm going to say it. Glenn. I did. Halloween night. Imagine that. Horses of hell, man. Halloween night. Yep. And I was asked to leave here. And I left here disgraced. Met a girl downtown. Her and I went to Florida together. Horrible. Horrible what I did. For about a week, I didn't have any place to stay. You know, when the enemy gets you like he had me, the witchcraft and all had me, man. I tell you, I didn't understand it all, but I was like going around like a blind man. I remember one night I didn't even have a place to stay. I was soaking wet. They're sitting downtown, Glenn, after all the blessing, you know. And then Glenn's grandson, Donnie, came and got me. Took me to his house. You know. And I lied. I said, you know, your granddad shouldn't have put me out. I didn't do anything wrong. He said, I believe it. I worked that. And end of the story is, ended up living a life of hell for a few years. Blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience, plain and simple. And my life sunk. Back in 98, I was addicted to Xanax medications. It was a doctor giving them to me, Glenn. It made me feel good and I could cope with life, I thought. And I got up a little bit on my feet, but I wasn't with God. I knew all about God. That dream I had here, by the way, I knew it was in my mind. 7 or 8 years had gone by. That dream had never gotten away. But I was sitting in my home in Biloxi, Mississippi, and I just fixed me a mixed drink. I sat down at the table, looked across the table at my son. He'd come to live with me. And there were four eyes staring back at me, not two. My son had beautiful eyes. They're green and blue, and what do you call that? They're just so pretty. Hazel. And I looked at my son, and he's looking at me, but there were two other eyes. And one eye was right here. And the other eye was suspended in the air. So this thing. And it was like if you shine a light on an animal at night, how the lights will light up. And I saw a demon. And I knew it was. The evil in those eyes, the darkness, was nasty. And I could see him, Glenn. Never saw anything like that. Let me tell you something. God's merciful. And I don't know why what I'm going to tell you happened to me. But God is merciful. Those eyes were looking at me, and I looked at them, and I knew, Glenn, what it was. It was hell itself. And I heard a voice in my room, and the voice said this, if you don't change your ways, your children will burn in hell. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? It was a million times, Glenn, going, you just think you're better. It was a million times that. A million. Because I love my children. I love God, Glenn. I just had so much junk in me. I didn't tell my son anything. I got up, walked in the next room, got on my knees, and I said, Father, I couldn't remember the word even, Glenn. The devil taking all the word out of me. All of it. And I used to know a lot about the Bible and the Word of God. But I did remember part of a verse. And the part of the verse said, resist the devil and he'll flee. And I heard another little voice and it said, I will supply. God will supply all of my needs. And it's not how much word you know. It's what you do with what you have. Okay? And I prayed. And I got up from there in 1998. Let me tell you something. I had been a force against the force of hell. Okay? Submit therefore yourselves to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee. Our God shall supply all of our needs. Okay? 30 days. By the way, at my house, I got up and I cleaned my house. I said, there'll be no more sin in my house. And I meant it. The weed went, the pills went, the alcohol went, the girls went. Everything but the dog and my son stayed. We kicked them all out. I did. Then my son left. He couldn't stand living there. But God sent him back to me, and the devil's taking him away again. But he will serve the Lord one day. Let me tell you the end of the story. 30 days after that experience on my floor, a new man got up who feared the Lord. That's the key. Obedience. I've been walking in obedience, Glenn, for years. Isn't that something? Hey, I'm not perfect, but I got news for you. I have not. I've been doing real good. I'm scared to sin. That's a good place to be. Hey, man, when I woke up, I looked in the mirror and I couldn't believe what I saw. I saw like an old guy. That's how gone I was. Couldn't even see myself. For that miracle. And about 30 days later, started going to Full Gospel Tabernacle. I started going to a little church down there, and there's a guy there. And God gave me this awesome job, Glenn, right after that happened. This door opened that had been there, but it wouldn't open. And this door opens up, and I started making, when that door started opening, right after the miracle, Glenn, I started making $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 every week in income. That's true. That's a lot of money. Guy like me. And made a lot more than that some weeks. Because I knew how to sell. And I knew I had a good product. And I had the skills. They were all chained up. And God set me free and He opened the door so He could do something about this dream He showed me here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And I was sitting in a restaurant eating lunch. There was a guy over there, and he went to my church, and I said, can I talk to you? And I brought him over, and I told him my dream. I said, I want to tell you my dream. I don't know why. I just feel compelled to tell you this dream. And I told him the dream, and I said, what can you do? And he said exactly what Bill said to me. He said, I can build anything. And I said, would you consider helping me? He said, I'll pray about it for 30 days, and I'll let you know. He's a man of God. Prayed about it for 30 days. He came back. He said, this is what I want. If I come to work for you, I need this, 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 and this. He was talking monetary compensation, blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay. And we started, I was making this money. I took all the money I made and I started putting in this little business, trying to figure out how to build what we now built. If you want to see one, there's one out behind Glenn's house. It's sitting out there. It's a long story. But we started trying to figure out how to build these private mausoleums called fortresses. And we have figured it out. We have figured it out. We have dealers now. In 24 states. That was in 1998. 24 states now. Okay? Guess what the most successful state is of all the states? I live in Mississippi. Arkansas. Arkansas. Every time I come to Arkansas, something happens. Faith and I were here at the last camp meeting. I'm going to tell about her too, Glenn. She's the greatest. Let me tell you, last 4th of July we were here, we were broke. We have this company, $7,000 a week payroll right now and growing. We were broke, Glenn. We stayed at this campground. We went down to the flea market. We took off the afternoon of the campground, went to the flea market and rented a table for $20 and sold two mausoleums for about $20,000. Isn't that cool? I'm serious. And we left here, went to Paris, Texas, and the guy gave us a check for $42,000, right, sweetie? Amen. Amen. It's not my business. I'm hesitant now. People say, what are you? I don't say owner anymore. God's told me that. He said, you can be the president and founder. I'm the owner. Yes, sir. So we started figuring it out, and God started blessing it. And the devil's still fighting me every day, trying to destroy the company, right? He's against us, man. We're in a battle. The company's very close to being a huge, huge corporation. We made $100,000 clear profit 1 month and paid $100,000 worth of our debt off. And we have internet, and people will call us out of nowhere. Man, God will bless that. If you have internet, you're doing business, then we'll have people call us, and just like that, we'll make a sale, $14,000, just like that. So y'all pray for his company. And we've trademarked the word fortress. And the name in the dream was called Family Tree. We went down to apply for a corporate license under Family Tree, and the lady from the state said, sorry, Family Tree is already taken. Isn't that something? In the state of Mississippi, there was already a corporation called Family Tree. So we called it his Family Tree. And that's the name of my business. So God put me back together. And I met a lady in Pascagoula, Mississippi that bought a mausoleum from me about 6 years ago. And I went through her kitchen, and there was the most beautiful woman. A photograph of this girl. And she had these two little girls beside her. God always told me, he said, you're going to have some daughters one day. So, you know, my ego, I said, well, I'm going to marry a young girl. I'm going to have some daughters. That was great, Patty. And I went by and I saw that, sorry, but it was true. And he told me he's going to have some daughters, so I thought I'd marry a younger woman and have some daughters, because I'm 56 now. And I asked her, I said, who is that girl? And she said, that's my sister. I said, what's her name? She said, Faith. I said, what a beautiful name. Faith? She's gorgeous. She said, would you like to meet her? And I said, well, no. I tell you, Miss Pena, I didn't think I could rate her. I thought she was out of my league, I'll be honest with you. And I said, well, maybe not right now. But yeah, you know. And I was driving down this street in Pascagoula one day, and I looked over and I saw her, this girl. The most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. She had this long white gauze dress on. She did. She had hair down to here, blonde. And by the time I get to the end of the street, I called her sister. I said, does your sister live at that house? She said, yeah. And I said, God. Her sister bought a mausoleum from me, and I met her sister out in the cemetery, and she brought her sister with her and introduced her. And that's my wife right there. And I met her in the cemetery. And her name is Faith, and she has been... by the way, when I was on the fast, God gave me another verse in Psalm 128, and verse 3 says, Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine. In another translation, it says, a contented woman in the innermost parts of your home, and your children will be as olive plants round about your table. He gave me that scripture on that fast up here, Glenn. Well, I thought it would be my ex-wife. I waited on my ex-wife 10 years. I did. I thought that's what God wanted. But God's given me the greatest woman, my partner, Faith. I love her. I love Glenn. I love this ministry. I just praise God for this place.
And,
two daughters and another son, and I love them. And God's used me as a witness to them and a light to them. I would like to ask everybody to pray for this business. It's called His Family Tree. It's God's company. And I'd like you also to be praying about the hurricane that's coming in, they say. Carla taught me. Faith and I took dominion over that hurricane this morning. They say it's coming right into where we live in the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Category 4. Yeah. So we love Glenn. We love you. Y'all pray for us.
Well, that's just a few of our children. We've got some more of them sitting around here today and other. And Kyle and his mother and brothers and sisters have come to live here now. And So we might say never have a dull moment here in a way. But the Lord is wonderful and has looked after us all these years, and He always, something new, better than yesterday. I'm privileged to have and will have all that the Lord sends here to be a help and to minister, not only to be a help, but for us to be a help to them. And all that the Lord sends here to help me, to help everybody else. Amen. And it's a privilege. So we need to pray for Juanel. Yeah, amen. The Lord gives us grace and wisdom and His mercy, and that's wonderful. So I appreciate all today, but we do need to pray for what happened in London yesterday, and pray against this hurricane that is building in the out over Cuba right now, and expect it to make land sometime, maybe tonight or in the morning. And then there's the other one, I guess, that's coming up the Gulf that isn't near as strong as the one that's coming in over Cuba right now. But Father, we take authority over this spirit of storm. We bind its power and break its assignment to bring destruction. You spirit of destruction, we rebuke you in the name of the Lord, and we speak peace to these storms, and cause them to disintegrate, just as Jesus spoke peace to the storm that night. We speak peace to these in your name, and I thank you for it. And Father, I thank you for watching over all that have been here and gone. We thank you for watching over all that will travel today and tomorrow, and bring them back safe here once again to the campground. And I thank you for the privilege of blessing all. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, see you next camp meeting.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.